Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. It's been a really eventful fall, and I'm really thankful to get back to the podcast. This past week's been pretty fun. I've been making short form videos on TikTok, and it's been fun just goofing around. There's some informative stuff on there, and there's some like goofy skits and stuff. But yeah, if you are on TikTok or Shorts or Reels or any of those things, go give the Flying Baton a follow, and you just might find yourself giggling just a little bit. All right, so we just wrapped up our fall concert, and I thought I should do an episode on why we do a fall concert and the benefits, because there's a lot of benefits, and many middle school bands don't do a fall concert. A lot of them do a winter concert and a spring concert, and maybe assessment and a field trip to a theme park or something like that, but they don't do fall concerts, and I did not do one when I started out, so I wanted to kind of share how we got started doing it and the advantages that it has for us. When I first got my job at Shelburne Middle School, I was told that part of my job was that the sixth graders and the seventh graders and the eighth graders would all march in the winter parade, all of them. And I remember thinking, like, how on earth am I going to get sixth graders to march in this parade? Like, I've never even heard of a sixth grade band marching in a parade. And my co-teacher, Zach Wadsworth, and I, we figured it out. We figured out a way to teach it. And it was pretty darn good. We had our sixth graders playing sort of the essential elements Jingle Bells thing. We wrote a little drum cadence, and it was really interesting working with sixth graders and seeing where they are developmentally as far as like learning how to march and play, because they could march on the beat in step if they were not playing. The second they started playing, most of them just did not have the coordination or skill yet to be able to play and keep their feet in time. So really, we were just happy if they kept a rectangular shape while going down the road. And it was a lot of fun. It was a good time. But as time wore on and we hit maybe like 3 or 4 years of that, I was thinking, you know, like it's taking us like a month of work to get ready for this parade. And I mean, because it's like at least a week to work on the marching and then the memorization and the playing. And yeah, it was just taking up so much time. And I was like, man, by the time we got to our winter concert, we just didn't have like the skills done and learned that I wanted them to have by the time we got to a winter concert. Now, that said, I know several middle school bands that still do parades, and props to them. It can be a really good recruitment tool because it makes your band very visible. But I went to Midwest for the first time in 2014, and I saw a session by legendary band director Erin Cole from Cobb County, Georgia. And she did this amazing session on culture, recruitment, and retention. And one of the things that she mentioned in that session is doing a fall concert. And she had pictures of herself, and she was dressed up in like a Yoda costume or something crazy like that. But it made a really big impression on me. And I was like, man, that would be kind of cool, like if we did a fall concert. So we started doing one at Shelburne. And it's only 7th and 8th graders. Our 6th graders, they don't quite know enough yet by fall to do a concert. So their first concert's in December. But the 7th and 8th graders, we have them do a fall concert. Now, I originally called this the Halloween concert because it was a few days before Halloween, but I did have some parents kind of religiously object over the years and tell me that their kid couldn't do it because they don't celebrate Halloween, and try to explain to them, like, we're not celebrating any like deities or paganism or anything like that. But as long as it was called the Halloween concert, they wouldn't come to it. So we just started calling it the fall concert, and we just kind of avoid all those issues. However, I do have my kids dress up if they want, or they can wear their band hoodies and t-shirts. And I dress up every year. In fact, my wife and I used to do coordinating costumes every year. And now that we have a 5-year-old, we do family coordinating costumes. Probably my favorite one that we did is, for a while, my son was obsessed with those airmen, you know, like those blow up tube guys that car dealerships would put out in front to like get your attention. He wanted to be one of those for Halloween a couple years ago. So my wife made him a costume where he would look like a giant airman. She made me a costume, which turned me into a used car, and then she wore one of my suits, and she went as a used car salesman, and it was really fun. It was a good time. It's also hilarious to see the different costumes that the kids come up with, and some of them are, you know, like your standard funny, you know, like inflatable costume or whatever, but some of them, the kids get incredibly creative. I've just seen some really fun stuff over the years. Another reason why I wanted the kids to dress up if they wanted to is because I wanted to wean them off doing the parades, but I had to sell that a little bit. So I was like, okay, if we can do a concert where you get to dress up in costume, would it be cool if we didn't do the parade that year? And they were like, oh yeah, that sounds great. So it was a really easy sell once they had a different experience that they could replace the parade with. Let's talk about some of the benefits of doing a fall concert. The first one, and I think this is probably the biggest one for me, is in my band class, 34% of the kids' grades is concert attendance. But in the first grading period, in the first 9 weeks, we didn't have a performance, which meant that 50% of their grade ended up being tests and quizzes, and 50% of their grade ended up being their daily grade, instead of the thirds like used to. So I was like, you know, if we can get a performance in the first grading period, that would be super helpful. And it would be a more accurate representation of what their grade's probably going to be like for the rest of the year. It's also a really good recruitment tool because a lot of members of the community come out and see it. And my current band members, their cousins and younger siblings and their friends, like they'll all come out and have a good time. And it's a really, really solid way to get some good recruitment points. Another reason why I like it a lot is because it gets out what I call like the summer dust, you know, like at the very end of seventh grade, like the kids are sounding pretty darn good. And then they go away from the summer and most of them don't practice. And they come back and they sound like they lost about 4 or 5 months of progress, right? Their tone isn't quite as good. Everything's a little more sloppy. It's not quite as in tune. And we have to kind of work to rebuild their sound a bit over the summer. I found that when you do a fall concert, whatever piece you learn right when the kids get back in August, that piece is not going to be as good sounding as anything else you're going to play that year. It kind of gives them an opportunity to learn a piece and work out some bad habits and the summer funk. Then we'll do the fall concert, which will usually be a good performance. But by the time we do the winter concert, they'll almost sound like a completely different group. Their maturity is just so much better. And one of the things that I found is if you play a piece of music for a long time, the kids actually won't progress. In fact, sometimes they regress. I had this experience with my first middle school band. My eighth grade band that year had about 18 kids or so, about 4 of which were percussionists. We worked really hard that year to build their sound and become a really good sounding small band. And I was super proud of those kids. It was really awesome. And forget why I did this one day, but one day I had them get out their sixth grade essential elements book. I forget the reason, but I had them turn to something in their book that they had played before and they played it. And oh my God, they instantly sounded like a sixth grade band. Instantly. And I stopped and I was like, whoa, hang on a sec, guys. Like you're playing this like you're a sixth grader. We got to do this again, but you need to play it like you're an eighth grader. Like use all the stuff that we've learned this year. And they're like, oh, yeah. And then we played it again and it sounded beautiful, right? But that just goes to show you that like there's a lot that goes into muscle memory, including tone. Like tone is part of your muscle memory. And they had not played some of those pieces since sixth grade and their bad habits came back in their muscle memory. It was crazy, right? So I really like doing the fall concert because whatever like kind of weird habits that they're working through right when they get back after summer break, it gives them an opportunity to get that out in a concert. And then the next piece of music they get right after the fall concert, they'll sound like a completely different band. And that's a huge perk for me because I feel like we kind of leap forward several months in comparison to if we did not do that. All right, after doing this for about 10 years, I do have some tips. One is I would schedule it for early to mid-October and not towards the end of October. And the reason for this is because if you do it right at the end of October, you're going to find that you're really stressing to get enough literature learned for your winter concert. But if you do it towards the beginning of October, then you'll have about equal amounts of time. And of course, the things that always complicate that is, you know, in Virginia, our state conference is in November. And also, a lot of school districts have gone to doing a full week off for Thanksgiving break, including us, which is amazing, by the way. I love having a week off for Thanksgiving break because before we did that and they'd make us go in like Monday and Tuesday, half the kids would be gone anyway, right? So giving us the full week off has been really great. However, that's less time between the fall concert and the winter concert. So I recommend scheduling it a little on the earlier side. Another tip too is I make sure to communicate with the students and the parents that all costumes need to be school appropriate and not impede their ability to play their instrument or see the conductor or block anybody else from seeing the conductor. I remember the second year that I did this, one of my French horn players came in with a giant sumo wrestler inflated suit. And I was like, how on earth are you going to play French horn in that thing? And she was like, oh, I'll just deflate it. And then she played a French horn, sounded great, inflated it back up, and she was out the door. And it was really funny. It was like, I've never worn an inflatable costume before. I didn't realize how easy it was just to blow it up and deflate it. But yes, I definitely emphasize to the kids, like, it needs to be school appropriate and not impede your ability to play. So if you have like a giant mask on or something, you need to take it off once we start playing. But when we're done your part of the concert, you can put it back on. All right, here are some pieces of music I really like doing on the fall concert. This year we did Haunted Clocks by Brian Balmages. This piece is really great because it combines a lot of different sound effects and themes like the Big Ben theme and things like that and ties it all together. You have the Dies Irae, you've got different cuckoo clock sounds. It is extremely programmatic, very fun. The kids always love it and the audience loves it. If you're looking for something a lot more creepy and a lot more challenging, Apparitions, also by Brian Balmages, really great. It's like a very slowly evolving ballad that has just an amazing climax towards the end. And this one, you know, I always have to sell the kids a little bit on this one because it starts out very slowly and the build takes a long time to really develop. So when you first pass it out, they're like, oh my God. And then by the time they are able to play from beginning to end, they're like, I love this piece. So it's a really good one for also teaching kids that like, sometimes the payoff isn't immediate. And yeah, you have to work on a piece a little bit before it really sinks in emotionally. Another great one is Caverns of Sonora by William Owens. This one has some really unique harmonic language and has a lot of really great percussion parts. Of course, all of his music has really great percussion parts, but it's super fun. It's a little bit similar to Shadows Unleashed, if you're familiar with that, but it's got some creepy elements to it and has a lot of accidentals and works on a lot of things that's pedagogically great for a 7th or 8th grade band. Another classic is Dr. Rockenstein by Steve Hodges. This one's super fun. It quotes a lot of stuff like the Twilight Zone, In the Hall of the Mountain King, and a couple other scary movies. I like this one a lot, and the kids always groove to it. All right, a lot of you guys probably know this piece, Night Fury by Carol Britton Chambers, but it's great on a fall concert. It's magic. The kids always really like that one. Thank you. If you want to give your trombone players a little bit of a spotlight, we have Alien Invasion by David Gorham. This one's great because it features the glissando in the trombone section. And if you really want to feed their egos, you could have them stand up in the sections that they have those glissandi. The middle section also has a nice legato section, and it has some really nice contrast to how aggressive the introduction is. All right, we've talked about this one on the podcast before, but Creepy Crawlies by Michael Story is an amazing programmatic piece. It has a lot of eighth note passages for the woodwinds that are fun to do, but it tells a story of a bug, and the bug eventually gets squished as the band, you know, stomps their feet on stage. And then there's a little funeral music, and then we kind of get back into the main theme. It's an incredible piece. The kids always talk about this one for years after they've played it. If you're looking for another fast and furious one, Dark Ride by Randall Standridge is pretty amazing. It actually has a really tricky clarinet part. There's a lot of fingerings that clarinets maybe not have seen a whole lot, like the low F sharp, for example, and low E's and some other like inharmonics they aren't used to seeing. So if your clarinets aren't like completely amazing, you absolutely do this piece because it will kind of teach them the magic of pinky juggling as a clarinet player, a really important skill you need to have. But I would definitely sit down yourself and play it a bit before you hand it out to your kids so you kind of know what's coming. And of course, you don't always have to do scary pieces either. The last couple years, I've tried to throw in kind of a fun novelty piece also to end the concert with. So last year, we ended the eighth grade portion with Squirrel Chase by Carol Burton Chambers. This piece is fun. And, you know, if somebody wants to dress up as a squirrel, even better. The great part about this is there is a lot of featured percussion. In fact, there's one particular percussion part in the back where one of the players is basically just playing sound effects, but almost all of them are a solo. And whenever I do this, I tell the kid, I was like, look, you gotta ham it up, okay? Whenever you have like one of these weird slapsticks or triangle hits or flexitones or slide whistles or like any of these crazy things, like you need to ham it up for sure. Especially when it gets to the maraca solo in the middle. Like I told him, you just need this huge grin on your face. You need to look right at the audience and make that connection. Oh my God, it's super fun. There's also a xylophone solo briefly in this piece, which is very cool. So if you have some percussionists you want to feature, this one's great. Also a super programmatic work. And the faster you take it, the more challenging it is. So if you really want to push your group, this is a great piece for that. All right, and the last one on this list, man, I could go on forever, but I'll leave you with one more. And we did this one this year, and it was Frogs by Randall Standridge. And this piece is so fun, it uses frog guiros, which as a percussionist, I didn't even know what a frog guiro was until a friend of mine, Laura Philpoo, conducted this with our district band. And it was absolutely the kids' favorite piece. But I'd never seen a frog guiro before. I've always seen the fish guiros. And she brought a whole bunch and we borrowed some from one of our elementary music teachers, Mr. Harner. And it was super fun to do a district band. So a few years later, this year, I decided, hey, I would love to program that for the fall concert. So I gave all the percussionists the frog guiros. We just got as many as we could. And it's a really fun piece. It also has a couple tempo bumps in it that can really push your band and give them some much needed challenge. And my bassoons just ate it up this year. At first they were like, man, this is pretty tough on bassoon. And by the end of it, they were absolutely crushing it. It was great. All right, guys, thanks so much for hanging. I hope that you would consider doing a fall concert and let me know how it goes. If you're on TikTok or Reels or Shorts, go ahead and search for The Flying Baton. You can see some of our short form stuff, which is going to have a lot of tips and tricks that wouldn't really fit on a podcast, but very easily fit into that format. All right, guys, see you next time.
Thanks for joining us on The Flying Baton. Remember, may your tone be dark and your humor light.